A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 11th June 2024 Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at volume 4, chapter 3, Parables. This is based on the commentary by Master Xuanhua. We are at page 574. Okay, as usual, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhan Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bhan Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bhan Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. 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 Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Di Sang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Sang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Sang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Ganna sarappa dittena dippena tamatang sina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tam puja bhajana mottamam vanna kanda guno petam etam kusuma santatin pujayami munindas sire pada sarorohe pujemi badang kusumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokam pupam milayati yata idamme ayo tatayati sasabhavam adivase tuno bante paniyam parikapitam anukampang upadaya Patikan hatu mutaman Adiwase tuno bante Pale parikapitan Anung kampang upadaya Patikan hatu mutaman Adiwase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitan Anukampang upadaya patiganhatu mutaman. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of all defilements our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fortune as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Bedang pecemi Damang pecemi Sanghang pecemi. Yes, remember to develop the four support to help you develop this inner awareness within. So the first support is very simple. Relax body and mind. Just feel yourself soothingly relaxed. When you are relaxed means you are at ease. You don't have a problem. Physically and mentally at ease, peaceful. Yeah. Then maintain awareness. Whatever arises, aware. Because as a human being or a living being, we have a physical body with the senses. Then there is a consciousness trapped inside. So upon contact of this conscious mind with the sense bases, together with the respective sense data, it will trigger off the respective sense door consciousness. So the moment you become conscious before the knowing, you just maintain awareness. Whatever arises at any of the sense bases, any contact between your six sense door and your physical body, if the external sense data and your conscious mind, just maintain awareness, just aware, finish, aware, finish. So the second support maintaining awareness is very simple when you understand. Just maintain awareness, just aware, whatever happened, aware, 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 finish. Don't allow the thought to continue, eh? Just like you are dead, just aware. Maintain the awareness, don't fall asleep. Yeah. But if you are very tired, you need to rest your body and sleep and go ahead. But after that, when you are already recuperated or fresh, then maintain awareness. Yeah. Then after that, the third support is stabilize the awareness. Means continue to let it develop the ability to be aware so that the mind will settle down and become very quiet, very still. So this one is the training to decondition your heedless thinking, your habitual tendency, so that your mind develop a new understanding to be mindful, to be heedful, to be just aware. Then after that, you just allow that mind to stabilize. Always remember our true mind before the thought arises, before the thinking arises. It is just silent, complete silent, without thought. The silent mind without thought is your true mind, your meditative mind, your inner awareness nature. That one, it is just aware. No thought, no knowing, nothing. So when you have the understanding that whatever arises, just let it be. Let it return to its original state of tranquility, stillness, and inner awareness. So continue to relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness. Then once the awareness or mindfulness stabilizes, you become sensitive, you become attentive. And through that silent inner awareness and attentive mind, you will understand many things. You can see things as they are. You can observe with the silent mind, means the silent observation of the truth, the reality. Then do not allow the memory, the thought process, the views, the opinion, the conditioning and belief system to come in and interfere with your thought process. When that one come in, it will stir your mind. It will create all the mental movement and activity. And the stirring will create emotion, mental states. So this is all part and parcel of the mundane mind sankhara activity. And when they are active, you cannot be mindful. Your mindfulness is an awareness before the knowing, before the arising of thought, before the arising of the aggregates of mind. It's the pure stillness, the awareness nature within. Yeah. So develop all this understanding, then try it. Okay. Then for those who already know how to do it, your stability, your mindfulness is already there, then very easy. Then you can stay at your heart area and develop the fourth support, trust. Means trust your inner nature, your pure awareness nature, to develop the understanding, the movement, the activity. Just silent, completely silent, relax, maintain awareness, and let it move on its own. That is trust. Means trust your own awareness nature to do the meditative movement. No more interference from your thought process, from your mundane thinking or activity. Okay, then you will be able to understand many things and you will make progress. Okay, now I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can continue your awareness-based meditation to develop the stability of inner awareness to meditate. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakravalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhamman muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma sabran kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma sabran kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma sabran kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanaiko pacyatang veditapo penohiti supatipano bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa Bhagavato Sauka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyang Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Now we'll continue from where we stopped. Turn to page 574. Those in need of study and those beyond study alike believe they were liberated from the views of self-existent and non-existent and so forth, and declare that they have attained Nirvana. Nirvana. So that is the Sutta part. So here, those in need of study means those who are still training to develop the sainthood way. If you have not completed the Arhantaship realization, then you are still in need of study. And the other one is beyond study. So the Pali word is seka and aseka. Then we go to the commentaries. This was Sariputta's word. Those in need of study and those beyond study believe that they had freed themselves from the views of self, existent and non-existent. The view of existence refers to the view of externalism. The view of non-existent refers to the view of annihilism. They said that they regard themselves as having attained Nirvana. Then the sutta continued. Yet now, in the presence of the world-honored one, hearing what they have never heard before, they fall prey to doubt and confusion again. Means the commentary say, when they heard this wonderful Dhamma that they have never heard before, they felt as if they have fallen into a great pit of doubt and confusion. They were muddled and could not understand. That's why at the stage of the sainthood way, you may think you already free your mind, liberated, no more avijja, no more rebirth. Then you thought you have understood. At that level, yes. So what happened is, when Sakyamuni Buddha teach the supreme vehicle Dhamma, then they realize there are a lot more other understanding they have yet to develop. So at the sainthood way, like I explained earlier on, to cultivate the sainthood way, you only need to sever the 10 fetters that bind living beings to samsara. So these 10 fetters, they are very powerful, especially the first 3 fetters. So to break the first 3 fetters is to give rise to the initial awakening, the realization of the Sotapannasi or the first stage of sainthood, where you break the first 3 fetters. You are no longer deluded by it. So the first fetter is Sakkayaditi, self-delusion. So once you awaken to that, then you come to a realization that this form and mind of ours is not a permanent, unchanging entity. There is no self within. The entity is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, cling onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. No such thing. So once they see that, then they develop fairly profound understanding. And then because of that, the second fetters also will be broken. So the second factor is belief in rites and ritual. So once you break that one, then you will not believe all those things that people say. You die already, you will go to what and become what. Then that understanding will liberate you. Means no more holding on to what people tell you, the rites and the ritual, like the medium or the bobo or whoever tell you you die already, whatever. That Sotapan will know there is no such thing. There is just a form of mind going through the karmic process, finish. Then whatever that takes the form of condition arising, cause of phenomena or samsaric process, is not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, grasp on to, or hold on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. Then the third factor is your doubt in the triple gem. Means the faith in the triple gem will always be there. Then you will understand that the triple gem is the only refuge. There is no other refuge. Then after that, you continue your cultivation. Then as you continue to develop progress, then you will start to develop the ability to accentuate sensual desire and ill will. Means your emotional tendency of sensual desire and getting angry, ill will, craving, desire, all this like has been accentuated, means less latent already. It doesn't affect you like before already. Then you will realize the second stage of sainthood. So the fourth and fifth factors, they are sensual desire and ill will. So at the stage of Sakadagami, or what we call the second stage of sainthood, you only manage to accentuate these two negative emotions. Positive and negative, sorry. So these are sensual desire and ill will. Then only when you can root it out, sensual desire, ill will, when you can completely root it out, then you realize the third stage of sainthood, which is anagami. But to realize arhantaship, there are five more fetters that you have to break free from. And these five are quite difficult to break free, especially the next four. The sixth and seventh factor is attachment to form jhana and formless jhana. Si chan ba ding. So, si chan is the first four form jhana. Then the next four are the arupa jhana, the ba ding, the eighth type of samatha, mind state. The first four are the form jhana, first, second, third, and fourth jhana. They have their characteristics. Then you go beyond the form. You realize the form jhana. The formless jhana. First one is the formless jhana of infinite space. You will realize that. Then infinite consciousness. Then the third formless rhyme of nothingness. Like there is nothing. Nothing. Then you go up the final rhyme, the most subtle. The formless rhyme of neither perception or non-perception. Means you neither exist or don't exist. Because the mind is so fine. You neither perceive or non-perceived. That's why they live there very long. Their formless arupa mind state are so fine. And to many of these cultivators, they thought this is eternal life, enlightenment. That's why when you are stuck there, these are fetters. So the six and seven fetters, attachment to form jhana and formless jhana, they can be very, very powerful, especially those who do samatha, one-pointedness, energy field, concentration, like of training, meditative training. Then they will get attached and cling on to those two. That's why those that are trapped at the jhana level, they cannot free, they cannot go beyond. Then after these two, even you can free from the six and seven, there is the eight fetters. The eighth fetter is they call minor conceit, mana, M-A-N-A. Like when you have realized like some progress, you think you're already different. You think, oh, people still trapped at the putujana level, the heedless level, non-enlightened level. So you tend to have this minor conceit. You think you are better than people. And that minor conceit is a fetter. That is the subtle ego. It can trap you. So that eighth fetter, which is mana, minor conceit, is also not easy to break. Then there is this ninth fetter, which is restlessness of mind. For no reason, even at that level, you can still develop restlessness of your mind. For no reason will become restless. Sometimes it's a test, sometimes it's a karmic thing, it will come. And you don't know what is happening. That's why you read a biography of some of the well-practiced monk or well-trained monk. Even Ajahn Mahabhoa, in his biography, he wrote about it. How when he trained his mind until the mindfulness is so stable, and throughout the day he mindful aware, then after many years or a period, suddenly for no reason one day the mind become very wild. He become restless and he couldn't do anything to it. He used his mantra, putto, 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 nothing worked. Yeah. That's why finally he realized this is not the way to free. The way to liberation of mind is wisdom. Nothing else but wisdom. It's not to focus, concentrate, and fix the mind and experience fantastic mind state. No. So this restlessness of mind, the nine factors, happen to many cultivators. And sometimes it comes as a test you may not know. So it creates doubt. And you start to doubt what happened. How come like that? Especially those who do jhana. Then when they age, as they become more elderly, approaching 80s and beyond, then they realize the physical body is not like before. They cannot focus and concentrate and develop their jhana like before. Then they realize a lot of things that they used to be in that state of calm, tranquil, still, energy state, because it's all supported by the jhanic factors and the jhanic energy field. And especially those in the formless rhyme. Then they start to doubt, they start to panic. Then they don't know what happened. Then they don't know what will happen to them when they die. At that old age, their physical body become very weak and it's very different. But for those who are in the formless rhyme, jhana, arupa, they maybe can maintain that mind state because the physical body doesn't concern them when they are in that mind state, the arupa jhana. So they can stay inside there. Then when they pass away, they will take birth up there. Those Brahma Rain and beyond. So if you take birth beyond the Brahma Rain, you will take birth in the four Arupa Loka, formless Rain. Then within the 16 Brahma Rain, they are the cultivator that have developed the first form jhana until the fourth form jhana. Then there is a few of this rhyme they call the pure airport where anagami reside. So that one is a pure airport, means the area, the anagami, third stage of sainthood, they reside there. They stay there. So what we are trying to explain here is like this Sariputta, after he heard what the Buddha taught under the Supreme Vehicle and he developed the understanding, then he starts to understand that at the sainthood way, the provisional teaching where you cultivate the sainthood way, he said those under training means Seka. Aseka beyond training means Arahant and beyond. Even these two, at that stage where they are in the preliminary sainthood way, they think they have gone beyond the understanding of self, non-self, existent, and non-existent. They have that thought. Actually, to a certain extent, it's quite true. They realize that there is this anatta nature, there is no such thing as a permanent unchanging entity. Even at the first stage of sainthood, they can understand that. But then, their understanding of the whole cultivation and the training is very superficial. Means they haven't even touched that nature, the awareness nature, the true nature. That's why they cannot understand a lot of things. So what they perceive to have realized is just the anatta nature, the empty nature of existence. He know you, he know me. If you go back to the sutta, then you will understand why Sariputta said all those things. Oh, after that is the next part of the sutta already. Okay, we read on. Good indeed, O Honored One. I hope that you will explain the causes and conditions for the sake of the fourfold assembly to clear away their doubts and regards. This is where Sariputta actually requested Sakyamuni Buddha to explain further and clear their doubt. So the commentary continue. So the commentary say, good indeed, well honored one, means to the Buddha. I hope that you will explain the causes and conditions for the sake of the fourfold assembly to clear away their doubt and regrets. So the well honored one has been most kind to me, Sariputta said. We respect and revere you the most. Please explain the causes and conditions for the sake of the fourfold assembly of bhikkhus, bhikkhuni, upasika, and upasakas. So these are the fourfold assembly, bhikkhu, bhikkhuni, upasaka, and upasika. Then the question is, why? Because it would dispel the doubt of all in the assembly. Please compassionately explain to us what we do not understand. Although Sariputta no longer have any doubt, he knew that many in the fourfold assembly still did not understood or understand. Therefore, he requested the Dhamma on behalf of the fourfold assembly. then timely teaching, dedicating the merits for former president and others. So this one is Xian Hua's commentary. Yeah? He explained earlier on. So now is a more detailed explanation of what they did on that day. So former president Eisenhower has left the world when he passed away. He is the president of United States. I think he is a very good president. Also, we have recently recited sutta for Dr. Yu Tian Shi. Yu Tian Shi, one of the lecture halls Dharma protector, and another Dharma protector called Tang, as well as others who have left the world. Eisenhower was a two-term president of the United States who benefited America in many ways. Since we are living in America, we should dedicate merits to him so that he may hear the Buddha Dharma soon and realize Buddhahood quickly. He did not hear the Buddha Dharma in this life, but perhaps he can in his next life. If we dedicate merits to him sincerely, there will certainly be an efficacious response. At the same time, we will recite the Buddha's name for Dr. Yu Tian Yu and all the other Dharma protectors of this hall so that they can leave suffering and attain bliss. Next Saturday is Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's birthday. In the Chinese tradition or custom, everyone likes to bow to the Buddha on that day. Next Sunday, we will still bow to the great compassionate repentant at 8 o'clock in the morning and again in the afternoon. On Saturday, the Dharma lecture on Astore Bodhisattva will be here in the lecture hall, and the Great Compassionate Repentant will be held after us. If you want to bow the repentant ones, you can bow during that time. If you want to bow to a repentant twice, you can continue bowing after the lecture. On this day, bowing repentance and reciting Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's name yields merits that is several thousand million times greater than that done on ordinary day. Everyone should know this. So this is what Xian Hua commentary explanation is. Then every night in the lecture hall, we will do the 5-minute Buddha recitation for the late President Eisenhower and the lecture hall's Dharma protectors. Tomorrow, we will set out 1-month-long plan for them in the merits and virtual hall to take them across. We will also invite them to the sutta lecture. They did not hear the sutta while they were alive, but now that they have passed away, they can come to the lectures. In the future, when they understand, they can also leave the suffering of birth, old age, sickness, and death. Tuesday is the anniversary of Sakyamuni Buddha. So Buddha's entering Parinibbana. Sakyamuni Buddha. Anniversary of Sakyamuni Buddha's Parinibbana. So everyone should recite Namo Bunsi Sakyamuni for a few more times that day. We shall now recite for President Eisenhower. So that was Xian Hua. Then we move on. So G2 is the answer. Opening words, teaching by parables, then the encouragement of faith and propagation. Okay, we go to the sutta, the opening words. At that time, the Buddha said to Sariputta, "Have I not said before that all Buddhas, world-honored one, expediently teach the Dhamma by means of various causes and conditions? Analogy and explanation for the sake of Anuttara Samyak Sambohi. All of these teachings are intended to teach Bodhisattvas. However, Sariputta, I shall now make use of a parable to elaborate on my meaning. For all who are wise, gain understanding through the parables. So this one is exactly like what we went through in the early days. The preliminary teaching, the provisional teachings, is the Theravada tradition's Four Noble Truths and its Three Turning, and all the essential Dhamma that spin out from there. Yeah, these are the important preliminary teaching about that teaching itself. Yeah. But the cultivation part, which is to realize Samma Sambuddhahood or Anuttara Samya Sambohi, that one is very extensive and completely different from the provisional teaching. That's why that part, the Mahayana have all the sutta and the reference, and that one is very long, very long. So here, the Buddha Sakyamuni explained to Sariputta. He said, "Have I not said before that all Buddhas, world-honored one, expediently teach the Dhamma by means of various causes and conditions, analogies and explanation for the sake of the supreme vehicle leading to the realization of Anuttara Samyak Sambohi, means Samma Sambuddhahood. All of these teachings are intended to teach bodhisattvas after that, and so that they walk the path to Buddhahood." Then he said, "However, Sariputta, I shall now make use of the parables to elaborate on my meaning for all who are wise to gain understanding through the parables." So now we go into the commentaries. At that time, the Buddha said to Sariputta, "Have I not said before?" The commentary. When Sakyamuni Buddha heard Sariputta request the Dhamma on behalf of the fourfold assembly to resolve their doubt, he asked Sariputta a rhetorical question, implying that the Buddha had told him before that all Buddhas, world-honored one, expediently teach the Dhamma by means of various causes and conditions, analogies and explanations. So these are the provisional teaching. Means all Buddhas throughout the Ten Directions use various skillful means, expedient devices, teaching on causes and conditions, analogy, and clever explanation to teach through expedient Dhammadhamma for the sake of Anuttara Samya Sambohi. Means the Dhamma are all spoken for the sake of nothing else but the unsurpassed, complete, perfect awakening, the supreme vehicle teaching. All of these teachings are intended to teach Bodhisattva. Means these various causes and conditions, analogy and explanation were used skillfully to teach Bodhisattvas. The previous passage contained a slight reprimand. What is the reprimand? The Buddha was gently admonishing Sariputta for asking for information that the Buddha had already provided. The word, however, takes the sting out of it and reassures Sariputta, "You are a good child. You are very wise." So all this, the preliminary teaching, the expedient device and whatever, they are actually to prepare those of the sainthood way to continue with their cultivation to go the bodhisattva way, thereby walking the supreme vehicle way. So like what we have gone through, after 2016, I started sharing the bodhisattva way, the bodhisattva vow and all, because the same condition arise. Then initially, for most of you all, the first time you heard about it, in fact, I got a lot of feedback also. They told me, "You say, Brother Teo, Brother Teo, actually in the past, I'm very contented with sainthood way. You can realize Sotapan, and now I'm assured maximum 7 births, I will become an Arahant. So no more coming back, no more rebirth, free. But then later on, when causes and conditions arise, then they start to have different understanding. Then they start to request. Then they explain to me in the email to me, they say, well, dear, in the past, I'm very contented with sainthood, with even Sotapanasi, and now, you say, I never even dare to think of going the Bodhisattva way. We are too long, you say. The Supreme Vehicle way to become Samasambuddha. He said, I don't have such faith and vow, you say. I cannot go that way. But then later on, things change. So, as you develop better understanding and causes and conditions, and you encounter great beings, your understanding also evolves and you become different. Then as you listen, the understanding deepens and transforms you. Actually, it's not what the thought tells you, like I always explain. You will go beyond all those that the thought tells you. Oh, the sainthood way is very fast and solve my problem. No more coming back. No more suffering, no more rebirth. It's as if you escape. But then, you do not understand the bigger picture behind what life is, what existence is. Although it's not real, but there is such thing as life, existence. That's why in the Heart Sutta, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva mentioned, when you realize true emptiness, life take a turn, become meaningful, beautiful, and existence become wonderful. Zhen Kong Miao Yu. True emptiness is wonderful existence. So all this understanding, they will fall into place. That's why the Buddha said, all the initial skillful means, expedient device, and all the preliminary teaching, they are meant to prepare the Bodhisattva who finally will walk this way to realize Samasambuddhahood. So all these are to prepare and train the Bodhisattva. So now we start to develop more and more of this understanding. But when you really understand the Supreme Vehicle Way, you will never turn back. Because it's so rewarding, like I explained. And it's so much more extensive. And you can understand completely the whole of life, both mundane and super mundane. The secret of life and whole of existence, the creation, the manifestation, and what this universe is all about, and how all this can become possible. So all this is what we call the uniqueness of the Buddha Dhamma. Okay, I read on. However, Sariputta, I shall now make use of the parable to elaborate on my meaning. For all who are wise gain understanding through these parables. Wise ones are able to understand the principle through the use of parable. Okay, teaching by parable. Analogy of the elder. The parable as a whole, they have subsection. So the Buddha set forth the parables. First is analogy of the elder. The analogy of the house, the analogy of only one dog, analogy of the 500 people, analogy of the fire breaking out, the analogy of the 10 of children. Okay. Then specific analogy, correlating the parable with the Dhamma, then finally the verse. Okay. Analogy of the elders. Sariputta, suppose that in a country, a city, and a village, there live a great elder, aged and worn, of limitless wealth, possessing many fields, homes, and servants. Sariputta, now I am going to give you a parable, or use a parable, to illustrate the wonderful Dhamma for you. Suppose that in a country, a city, or a village, suppose indicates that there is hypothetical. A country is an analogy for the rhyme of, for the rhyme at dawn with two rewards, which is where the bodhisattva live. A city is an analogy for the rhyme with residue, attained through skillful means, which is where those of the two vehicles dwell, means the sound hearer and the Pachaka Buddha. And a village is an analogy for the rhyme where the enlightened ones, together with the unenlightened one, which is where you and I now live. The Buddha dwell in the pure rhyme of eternally tranquil radiance. As you know, a country is wide, stretch of land with boundless, or sorry, with boundaries in which the citizen dwell. It extends for a great distance, and its boundaries define a large area. A city is a region ruled by a minor officer. For example, San Francisco and New York are cities. City define areas of intermediate size, neither large nor small. Village are of small town or hamlet. They are the smallest community. A country represents a rhyme adorned with true rewards. A city represents the rhyme of residue. A city represents the rhyme with residue, attained through skillful means. A village represents the rhyme where the awakened live together with the unawakened. So these are the analogies. Suppose that in a country, city, or village, there lives a great elder. The great elder is an analogy for the Buddha. From a worldly perspective, the elder is endowed with 10 characteristics. His lineage is honorable. This is not the same as the Chinese way of asking someone's name. What is your honorable surname? Asking, what is your honorable surname? Does not imply that the person has an honorable lineage. For worldly people, having an honorable lineage means being born into nobility or in the household of an emperor, a prime minister, or a kshatriya in India. They are what they call caste system. One born in the family of an emperor can become an emperor in the future. One born in the family of a duke can become a duke. Then the second special quality is he is of lofty position. The elder is in a particular high position, being for instance a prime minister or perhaps a great general who rules the whole country. He has great wealth. He is extremely wealthy. Most people have houses stock with rice or grain. But his storehouse are filled with gold. He is awe-inspiring, courage. His majestic appearance make people stand in awe for him. Although he has never struck, scold, or killed anyone, everyone who sees him is still intimidated by him. Courage means bravery. He is dignified and solemn, like a great general in full military array, who looks very powerful. One knows not how many people he has killed. He is also like a policeman who is big and tall. Seeing him, the citizen dare not transgress the law. He is awe-inspiring and courageous. However, some people find policemen most annoying. Why? They think policemen make things very inconvenient for them. Number five, his wisdom is profound. His wisdom is unsurpassed, extremely deep and far-reaching. All things are to him as clear as if in the palm of his hand. Nothing can fool his deep wisdom. His mind encompasses all our existence. He knows all skillful means and surprising tactics. He is outstanding, different from ordinary people. He is unusually intelligent. He is advanced in years. He is very old. But the older he gets, the stronger he becomes. The older he gets, the healthier he becomes. He is a model for people, a leader for them. Number 7, his conduct is pure. His conduct is extremely lofty and pure, like a flawless piece of white jade. There is a saying in the Book of Songs, a flaw in the white jade's capital may be fixing, oh sorry, may be fixed by grinding. But a flaw in speech can never be put right. If there is a black spot on the scepter of white jade, you can slowly polish it away. If what you say had a flaw in it, there is no way to take it back. His integrity is such that ordinary people could never measure up to him. His courtesy is perfect. The elder is polite to everyone. He would never be rude. He has good manner towards whether rich or poor, noble or ordinary. He treats people appropriately and with courtesy. If a friend comes, you may invite him to have a meal or have a cup of coffee. This is called treating people with courtesy. Treating people with courtesy need to be done just right. For example, if your friend likes coffee, you treat him to a cup of coffee. If he likes soda, you treat him with soda. In general, you want to treat people with whatever delights them, not as a mean of flattery, but out of courtesy. Then number 9, he is praised by his superior. It is not unusual to receive praise from one subordinate, but it's rare to be praised by one superior. However, the elder is in fact praised by those above him, and he is a refuge for his subordinate. Those beneath him rely upon him and respect him. He is honored by all within the 4C. This is like the Chinese saying, all people within the 4C are brothers. All people within the 4C come to support him. He is like the king supported by his subject, or the president supported by his people. He is respected by all within the 4C. So the Chinese like to use the word 四海, means the 4Cs surrounding. In this analogy, the elder represents Sakyamuni Buddha. The 10 characteristics of the elder are referred to the 10 virtues of the Buddha. So his lineage is honorable. This is not repeated.
Just now was the old man.
This is the Buddha himself. Okay. So his lineage is honorable means the Buddha is born from true suchness, which is the absolute reality throughout the 3 period of time. Therefore, his lineage is honorable. The true period of time, the 3 period of time are the past, present, and future. True suchness is also called the Tathagata Gaba. Absolute reality refers to the essence of things. He is of lofty position, means the Buddha cultivates merits and virtue to the point of perfection. He realized the path and became a Buddha. He became known by the 10 noble title. Means, actually supposed to be the 9 great virtue, but here the Mahayana put as 10. Tathagata, one worthy of offering, one of right and universal knowledge, one of perfect clarity and conduct. Sugata, knower of the world, unsurpassed. One, subducing and regulating hero, teacher of man and God, the Buddha and the world honored one. He has great wealth. The Buddha has great wealth, consists of the Dhamma, which is the greatest asset, and the myriad virtue that he has perfected. Number 4, he has all inspiring courage. The Buddha has heroic courage and great power. He can subdue demons and control orthodox cult and heretics. How does he do it? He uses his 10 power of wisdom, The wisdom of discerning right and wrong in every situation, the wisdom of knowing the karmic result throughout the three periods of time, the wisdom of knowing all the stages of dhyan, liberation, and samadhi, the wisdom of knowing the superior and the inferior potential of living being, the wisdom of knowing the interests and inclination of all living beings, the wisdom of knowing the condition of living being, the wisdom of knowing all future rebirth of living being, the unobstructed wisdom of the heavenly eye that knows the future rebirth and death of living being and their karmic reason, the non-outflow wisdom of knowing past life, the wisdom of knowing the permanent elimination of habitual tendency. With this 10 kind of wisdom, the Buddha is mighty, heroic, and all-inspiring. He can subdue all the heavenly demons and unorthodox cults. Number 5, his wisdom is profound, replete with 3 kinds of wisdom within one thought. The Buddha understands everything. By cultivating the contemplation of emptiness, he attains all wisdom. By cultivating the contemplation of the truth of the provisional, he attains the wisdom of all things in proper discernment. By cultivating the contemplation of the middle way, he attains omniscient wisdom. Within one thought, the Buddha has 3 kinds of wisdom, giving him the ability to understand any situation. He is advanced in years. The metaphor of advanced age refers to the fact that Sakyamuni has already realized Buddhahood countless eons ago, not just in this life. Therefore, the Brahmana Sutta says, "I have come to this Saha world 80,000 times." This indicates that the Buddha has realized perfect awakening many eons ago. And according to the Tiantai school, these 3 kinds of wisdom result from the 3 contemplation of emptiness, the provisional, and the middle way. All wisdom developed from the contemplation of emptiness, the wisdom of all things in proper discernment, is accomplished through the contemplation of the provisional. Omniscient wisdom result from contemplation of the middle way. According to the Fo Quan Dictionary of Buddhism, the Da Zi Du, Du Lun, Great Treaty of the Perfection of Wisdom, Faxilo 84, chapter on 3 kinds of wisdom, say, "All wisdom is the wisdom that perceives the common characteristics of all phenomena, namely the characteristics of emptiness. This is the wisdom of the sound hearer and the Pacheka Buddha, Savaka and the Pacheka Buddha. Then the wisdom of all things in proper discernment is the wisdom that perceives the individual characteristics of all phenomena, in particular, all kinds of different methods of correct path. This is the wisdom of the Bodhisattvas. 3, the omniscient wisdom is the wisdom that fully fathom both the common and individual characteristics of all phenomena. That is the wisdom of the Buddha." Okay, we move on. Then number 7, his conduct is pure. The Buddha's 3 modes of karma all accord with wisdom. All of the Buddha's Buddha's deed accord with wisdom. All of his speech accord with wisdom, and all of his thought accord with wisdom. He never makes mistake or errors. Number 8, his courtesy is perfect. The Buddha's heart is as vast as the great sea, flawless. Perfect in deportation, the Buddha has 3,000 all-inspiring modes of deportation and 80,000 of secondary dominions. Number 9, he is praised by his superior. Sakyamuni Buddha is praised by all Buddhas, the greatly enlightened one of the 10 directions. All Buddhas are equal. There is no differentiation of superiority or inferiority. But since the Buddha of the 10 directions became Buddha a long time before Sakyamuni, they are, so to speak, a little older in years than him. Therefore, it is said that Sakyamuni is praised by his superior. Number 10, he is a refuge of his subordinate. All living beings of the seven experience take refuge with the Buddha. There are different ways to explain the seven experience. But here I will follow the Tiantai tradition, which explains them as the seven vehicles. The vehicle of the human, the vehicle of the gods, the Savaka, the Jaka Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas of the Tipitaka teaching. Go up further. The vehicle of the Bodhisattva of the interrelated teaching, and the vehicle of the Bodhisattva of the distinct teaching. So these are the seven. These seven vehicles are also known as the seven kind of worthy ones and seven experience. The living being of the seven vehicles come to take refuge with the Buddha. There are four ways to explain the sutta. One may explain them in terms of cause and effect, or causes and condition. In terms of teaching, in terms of the original and the derivative, or in terms of contemplation of mind. To explain in terms of teaching means to analyze the doctrinal principle. Does it belong to the Tipitaka teaching, the interrelated teaching, the distinct teaching, or the perfect teaching? One may also explain sutta in terms of the original and the derivative. The original refers to the foundation or source, whereas the derivative refers to the specific manifestation. There is also the method of contemplation of the mind. Each passage of the sutta text should be explained in these four different ways. However, if we did that with every passage, it would take too long. The 10 characteristics of an elder has already been explained in terms of causes and conditions. I will now explain them in terms of contemplation of mind. What's the time now? Oh, I think we will end here. So we mark this page. The 10 virtues do not go beyond a single thought. Okay, I will mark this page. Okay, we are at page 584. Okay, so now we come back to the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Regarding the teaching, the meditation, and how to apply what you have learned to help you understand life and live life. Okay.
Good evening, brother.
Yes.
Mrs. Teo and all brothers and sisters in the Dharma. Maybe I just share a little bit of the Wutai San
that would be good.
So I would like to take this opportunity to thank Brother Teo for leading us to the Wutai San. It is such a wonderful experience.
I'm
glad that I have made the wise decision to join the trip actually.
Sadhu.
Beside the good accommodation, good food. And a lot of experiences. Throughout the trip, actually, this trip, I find that the whole trip, I find I'm very peaceful.
Sadhu.
I didn't even remember my home.
Sadhu.
So. In one of the temple, the temple that we met the abbot. So when we chant the singing, the moment I felt very grateful that suddenly that I find that. I mean, in that condition that we are able to be there, and then when we chant the Xing Jing, because of the gratitude, suddenly my tears just flow, you know. So halfway through the chanting, I couldn't continue with the chanting.
Oh, sadhu, yeah.
So that is the experience.
Sadhu.
Other than that, I think the whole trip, I felt very peaceful.
Yeah. In fact, most Kayamita felt very peaceful, very spiritually, like very happy, and a lot of faith, a lot of joy. Then everything like fall into place. Then many Kayamita, I think you have your own rewarding experiences. Even I saw quite a number of you, PG and a few others, when we recited the singing at one of the temple, Jubolena, so graceful doing that movement in front. Then PG also said, if the chanting or the singing continue, be sure a lot more mudra, everything will come out. So all this is what we call different encounter and manifestation that the individual Kayamita has from the past. That's why you will develop that ability to connect and the affinity to respond accordingly. For your case, I think it's very beautiful. But that temple is a Kuan Yin temple. That's why somehow the abbot also, I think, felt something. They heard our chanting. Then he came out and he was looking at us. And the lady nun, the one that's supposed to help out at the temple. So initially when we went in, he very strict. He said, no photograph inside. And cannot do this, cannot do that. But then when he saw the abbot come out, she was full of joy. So she like want to introduce us to the abbot. And the abbot was like, where he felt something. Then he wanted to know who are we, and where we come from. See, then later when we explained, then he knew, I think. That's why he volunteered to invite us into his place. But because of that condition that day, the weather, everything was so beautiful. The causes and condition is such, then he decided to explain to us how that way place or temple started. Because he asked, is this the first time have we come to his temple before? We said no. So he said, okay, if that's the case, you all stay here, I will explain. Then he took the trouble to take us around, explain everything. And he was full of joy too. Then out of, I think, gratitude and affinity, he even consented to us taking photo with him. Then we also develop affinity because we also not only make donation to the temple, but we also, I think, make donation and offering to him to develop affinity. So all this, they manifest on their own. And it became possible only after our itinerary shift because of the weather and all those things. And it's meant to be. That's why that day was so conducive. And all the temple that we not supposed to visit that day, supposed to be 3 days later, we have no choice but to visit them on that day. And the weather, everything was so conducive, as if it's meant to be. Most of the way place we went is the Kuan Yin way place. And Kuan Yin like that type of weather, misty, cooling, chill, then a little bit of drizzle, light misty drizzle. And these are the appropriate, what we call setting, that the Kuan Yin Wei place is to be. So that's why those few temple that we visit that day was beautiful. Then the other one was at Da Tong, the Hua Yan Si. That is a very good temple too. Then later on, when we arrive at Wutai San, of course we went to a few of these temples which are equally good and beautiful. Then the one that we visited at Zhong Tai, Nan Tai and Pei Tai, they were also very beautiful. Then also I think quite a number of kilometers, it's very song there at Da Lo Ting, the 1080 steps that we walk up. Then the other one is the was it Pusa Ting or what? The earlier one, we go through the back door, you remember? Then there were a few other temples also meant to be very beautiful. So all this, when you go on a spiritual trip, when you have the faith and the past affinity, you can really develop the what they call the affinity and manifestation that will arise because of your affinity with that way place and the nature's energy. Sometimes a great being's nature's affinity and energy, and most of you all will develop the sensitivity of mind because of your faith and your mainly is faith and virya. Then the manifestation that actually manifests and give you further faith, then through our Dharma discussion after I explain, then after other Kayamita also chip in to share, then you understand how the spiritual trip can become what it is, the collective consciousness and all those great beings, nature and that way place, Dharma protector and nature, they are like meant to be. In fact, before we go, I think they all already know. And a lot of things is happening. That's why the sign all arise. And they are so beautiful. Meant to be. And most of us, almost every one of us, we benefited so much. You all may not know until when the whole trip finish, you come back. Then how inside move and transform. In fact, my daughter also went through Padmasri day also. You're very tired, but you sleep very well. A lot of energy inside, a lot of vibration. Then you just relax. Then it starts to stabilize. Even myself, when I was there, I realized there are a lot of cultivator and beings. They draw from my nature. But very strange, you know. The more they draw, the more powerful this nature is. And it's like everything inside there opening and moving, activating, and it's like full of joy, like radiating for the cultivator of the way and those who need them. Even you all will draw from it when we travel together. That's why at the spiritual trip, the retreat or what, when we stay together, the collective consciousness together with the great beings, nature's environment's energy and Dharma protectors and whatever, all this, they play their role, and the collective consciousness is very powerful, especially at Sampo Temple, even Tang Jia they all, and the nuns, they do all the chanting and the vibration. They are very beautiful, and they created that setting. Well, every day they chant, and they do a lot of Fa Hui throughout the year and all those things. And the founder of that temple is very good, the first abbot. That wee place is very unique. One. That's why the first time I went there, I remember in the early 80s, I like can sense that place is different. Then in 1989, I had a 5-day retreat there. Then my nature connect. That's why I knew after that, when I came out to share, one day Sui An was asking where to conduct the retreat. Well, the first retreat we had was Fraser's Hill, the place he worked at, that company, I think Sam Dhabi, they have they call it resort, holiday home at Fraser's Hill. So Sui An, before he retired, he booked for us. So we had a 3-day, 2-night weekend retreat there. And everybody was so happy, so excited. Then they wanted another one. But Sui An said, I retire already. So no place. Then I reflected on that. I said, go to Sampo Temple. That is the best. So we tried. Somehow we managed to get the Tang Jia to agree. We don't have even an organization, nothing. Then he said, you must write in officially, he said, with a letterhead. We all got no organization, no letterhead. So Sui An told me, he said, never mind. He said, I talked to Brother Jim. Brother Jim is the president. He said, SJPA, we borrow. That's how it all started. So for the first few years, we used that letterhead. Then later on, Padmasuri came to know that printer. So we asked the printer, can help create a letterhead for us? He said, can. Then he printed for us. So we had, but we never used. Seldom used, only recently. I think the last 2 or 3 retreat, we use our own letterhead to type and send in. The format is still the same. Your Sui An know the format. Except now we call it Brother Teo's For Yu Hui, Kayamitas. So the address is my house. So it's all meant to be. So everything now is sorted out. So you all don't have to worry. So we are legal entity, official. So all this. Sorry, Elsie. I take up too much of your time. Now you continue. Anything else?
Yeah, I find the energy there is very...
Yeah, very, very strong and very unique.
Throughout the trip, I didn't really feel tired.
Yeah,
actually.
You won't be tired.
Yeah.
Even though we walk a lot, you feel a lot of joy, a lot of energy. You remember Song Shen, when he walked up the temple and come down? The mindfulness came. And he can recall all the teaching that I gave on the daily mindfulness. Then he experienced them all. And he understood exactly what I meant at that time. So all this can happen. It just unfold. He was just walking down from that temple, and quite steep, I think. But he was able to be in that state of mind. So very beautiful. Yeah, just like the way Elsie also experienced them. Because when we travel together on the bus and we stay at the same hotel, we visit all the temple together, our collective consciousness is very different, very different. Especially for us cultivator with the faith and the understanding. And all these are your parami, your merits, your wholesomeness. And this one, with money also you cannot buy one. Because you have to have the affinity to be there with us as Kayanamita, and you must have the causes and condition to manifest accordingly. So my nature understand how to benefit the other Kayanamita, that's why I set up the Kayanamita Fund, even though a lot of other Kayanamita didn't manage to join us or go, but they are part of the Kayanamita wholesomeness. Our Kayanamita donate, our Kayanamita Fund donate the bulk of the common pool fund donation. And everything that we do, all the wholesomeness, we use the common pool fund, the spiritual trip common pool fund. That's why it benefited them. Yeah. that all my teaching material, all the retreat things that we need for whatever sharing or what, only Kayamita Fund can donate towards that thing. Then we make a lot of wholesome donation and contribution using the Kayamita Fund to a lot of activity that my nature know is useful, and we will do it. And this one will benefit Kayamita, especially the Sampo Temple Retreat. Our common pool fund, every year we got a lot of surplus. We donate a lot to the temple, minimum 10,000 ringgit a year per retreat. And the last retreat was exceptional. We collected a lot more. We donated, I think, 12,000 or what. So the Sufu also liked us a lot because he know we understand and there is a lot of joy. But that temple do a lot of very wholesome things. You just imagine they opened up last time, allow people to hold retreat there. And whoever who undergo the retreat there, if just one out of the many in a year that can progress and realize the Dhamma, there is enough wholesomeness to go around already. Then on top of that, we donate to the whole temple and the monastery for their monks' need and all those things, the temple maintenance, and our accommodation, our hot water, electricity, all free. You know, they don't charge us. They only charge us for the meal, you know, which is so cheap. You know? I think initially it was $6 a meal. Then now we voluntarily increase it to $8 so that it can at least cover their expense or what. So even $8 a meal, one day, let's say you take 3 meals, $24 on it. Then you multiply by 8 days or 9 days, about 200 ringgit like that. Then we collect 380. The bus fare is very expensive. This year, around the bus fare is going to increase. Well, but diesel price just went up. So, Engby is supposed to liaise with the bus driver. The bus driver already sound out to her. He said, now, with the petrol going up like that, he has to adjust for the fuel cost. So, we hope to get about 30 plus people this time around. If we can get 30 plus people, then it won't eat too much into our budget, because the bus journey up one way, I think it will cost us at least 2,000 or 2,000 plus. Just without the increase, it's 1,007 per trip, up per trip down. So maybe if we go up to 2,000 or 2,000 plus a bit, if we have about 40 of us, we can still budget 100 ringgit per person. That is still within our budget, I think. But if it's not, then I think no problem, because our Kayamita Fund will top it up. So all this, we already have the buffer and the cushion, so you don't have to worry about all these things. But actually, you look at it, you stay there 8 days, then the meal is for, normally we stay there 8, 9 days. You divide by 380, it's less than 50 ringgit a day. You stay somewhere near the resort area there, it's not even enough to cover you on the lodging part. But this one is food and lodging, with hot water, a very conducive environment setting and weather and room condition. That's why that retreat place is fantastic. So you have the affinity, the condition to be there, you will reap a lot of wholesomeness. And the chanting that they do every day, when you donate towards that temple, is very wholesome, no? And that temple, that way place, can benefit a lot of people because of the activity they do. The the annual you call what they are chanting. The Padma Suri every time help them to raise the fund one. Some of Lian Huang. Liang Wang Bao Chan. And on top of that is the Kuan Yin birthday, all those things also they do. Then they have their every day three times, the morning, afternoon and evening chanting. That one, all the vibration all very good. And that whole place, the vibration they have actually developed it until it's so beautiful. That's why they have all this Surangama chanting and all those things. Sometimes they put the you call what bracelet and all those things. Then they put there for a few months of the chanting. And after that, they give it to people as blessing. The previous abbot before he passed away, our the retreat, I don't know why. I think he sent something. He liked us. He gave us a lot. No, he said, develop affinity. So he passed to me a lot. No, so I give to all the kaimta until now. I think I still have a few left. So all this is like meant to be. And those abbots that actually were there, they did beautiful job. And every now and then they got activity. No. They raise fund, they really do things. You remember the two stupa in front of the temple there? Most of it donated by us also. We were given the opportunity. And we were lucky actually. We get to know Teng Siong Sufu. And Teng Siong Sufu through the Tang Jia let us know. And also Padma Suri have affinity with Teng Siong Sufu and Tang Jia. So they coordinate and let me know, then I make the decision to support them, which is very wholesome. That's why everything is meant to be. So this type of wholesomeness, even if you got money very wealthy, you cannot get to do one, you understand? If you don't know them, you don't have such affinity, they don't simply accept one. Especially the stupa thing. We actually didn't know until Teng Siong Sufu told us during the retreat. Then he checked with Tang Jia. He said, can inform Brother Theodore and ask them whether they want to partake in the donation and offering. Then Tang Jia said, yeah, should. Then he told us, then we raised the bulk of it. And during the MCO, they don't have much support. We do MCO, but we all lucky. We non-stop, we supported them. That's why they're very grateful. And now they said, they told us the last two, three years, no retreat except ours. They only let us do the retreat because they trust us because of the COVID and all this thing. Yeah, Elsie, you continue before I take up all your time. Yeah, another 12 minutes.
Yeah, overall, it's a very beautiful
and a very amazing, trip. Wonderful and especially memorable trip.
I think everything falls into
yeah,
place
yeah.
beautifully.
Yeah, yeah.
Even
yeah.
even PG also doing fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The whole trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Despite the tough journey.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Good evening, Brother yeah. Mr. Steele and all Kamitas. Very beautiful trip.
Yeah.
Because too long I don't travel with Brother, so before the MCO end, I say wherever Brother go, die, I will go. Wu Tai San, I have no doubt lah. No need to think. Oh, when it pop up, just go.
Yeah, this time no need to apply leave.
I think I remember the cave.
Yes.
When we do the chanting, what I can feel is like, because there are many tourists there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we just don't care. We just group together and do chanting of Sutra.
Yeah.
What I can feel is like, when we start the chant, the sound very harmonized and we are like, encamped in energy. You know?
Yeah.
Our own group.
Own group. The collective consciousness, very strong.
Very serene.
Very serene, very strong.
We also dare not to chant very loud, but it's
We tone down.
That's what I feel. Another place is the I think in Wutaisan City where the temple has a Brother Yuman. I can read Mandarin. I also don't know which temple and which temple end of the day. So I think the temple where the Guan Yin have the father and mother.
Where
the abbot come out and see us. I was reciting on my own of a Heart Sutra and I read very fast type, not the singing like me. So when I do finish one round, I say, oh, not enough. I go for the second round. And halfway of doing, I got this urge to say, must ask Brother Teo Chan Sing Jing. So I continue mine. But by the time I finish up to 2.5, I hear Brother Teo say, let's chant Sing Jing. So there's also the place that we chant Sing Jing. And I think this temple and I think probably following temple is also Kuan Yin, where I hear
in fact that morning a lot of Kuan Yin temple.
This one I don't know is Papa and Mama. I only know the Kuan Yin is looking far straight out. So the next temple, I think I was behind Brother Teo. I heard Brother Teo say, wow, this Guan Yin very serene. Chuang Guan. And this time, this Guan Yin is looking down to people who bow to him or her. This is also where we chant the Sing Jing this is where PG performs. So I remember these two temples. And overall, I think our trip is we are very well pampered. Very well pampered. Hotel, food, Moda Yima.
It's like emperor dinner and lunch.
Wong
Tai Chan. The hotel, especially the Thai, very nice hotel. The hotel was beautiful. Then even Da Tong also not bad. Beijing one also not bad. The Wutaisan one, I think what we had was the best there already.
We have 4 nights there. What I miss, because I follow Brother Teo to Putua San. So what I miss for this Putua San. So what I miss for Wutaisan is I felt that it's like it would be much wonderful if we have a 2-3 hours of meditation in maybe one of the temples that will really make us absorb into the serenity of Wutaisan.
In fact, the best place to have it is Zhongtai. The Zhongtai area, the energy, stillness. The moment I walk in, I just silent. Immediately that nature surface. Very strong, the vibration. A lot of relics there. And the great being's nature's energy there is very strong. That's why that day the weather pattern all very unique, bright blue sky, clear sky, no wind, no at the altitude, fantastic. Even the monk that was so surprised attend to us, he also make a very good comment. He said, "Your group," he said, "no wonder the weather today is so special." He said, "很神奇." He said, 没有风, then everything is so still. Then the cloud formation, the nature, the very blue sky, really blue one, and clear. Then the temple, way place with the relics, everything. You walk in, you can feel them, you can sense them, and it's so strong. And he take the trouble to took us around and advise us to go to the 500 Arahant there and tell us they all got relics on. Then there is one big one inside Maitreya. He climbed up the thing and took the thing and blessed everyone and let us took the photos. Then he showed a lot of our Kayamita how to take the manifestation from the sun. He said, you can see. He said, you can see. You take out your handphone. He asked a few Kayamita. And a lot of Kayamita took out the handphone. And really, they got the shot. He said, this one, it must be, the people must have that parami and auspicious nature to manifest this type of thing. It's a very rare incident. Not easy to see all this.
And with the weather, everything, the nature fall in place. That's why that the monk, the Tukasrawan, is very kind of him. Then he wanted to create affinity. You know what he said or not? He said, you all must offer incense. And he took the trouble to light the incense and give to each and every one of us, 24 of us, three each. Then later on, one each. Then candle also, one each. And never asked us to donate or what. But anyway, we donate later on. So a lot of things is like meant to be. Then the candle, we not supposed to offer at a special place where there are bigger candle inside there, on a confined area, enclosed area. There was a nun inside there, I think, in charge. So when we went in, the nun said, 不可以放, 不可以放, you cannot put here. No? Then the monk told her, he said, 没事啊, he said, 可以放, 可以放. Then finally he consented and let us all offer the candle there. Then we were full of joy. That's what I meant to be, will be. So all these are very beautiful. So Jupolian, your wish may come true. We go and do it at Sampo Temple.
Ayo, bro, Sampo Temple, no kick off.
I see.
Because I should be gonna kick. Brother, I got this image in my mind, the Zhong Tai.
Yeah.
I can't remember which door. Actually, the monk, whether it's the abbot or another one, he actually pushed open the door for us to go in.
Yeah, la, that is the monk.
Morning, we arrived.
Yeah, la, he felt very strange. He wants to know why. Why the weather like that? He opened up, but he saw us. No? He asked us, where are we from? Then Linda said, from Malaysia. Oh, is it? No wonder the 那个天气这么神奇. So everything just started and unfold because of that. And we also lucky, you know, the driver that took us up, normally their routine is they go to Nantai first, then only they go to the Zhongtai one. No? But he said, we swap, is it? We go Zhong Tai first, then only we go Nan Tai. Then we arrive them early, you know. Actually. But when we arrive there, actually there are some car there already, I think, some way. But the group from our two van, we went up that time, that area, they don't know how to move around. No? Only we know how to move around. No? That's why that monk came out. No? Then we... Because when I was there, I can feel that stillness already. Then a lot of things happened. No? That's why I walk straight up and then I look around. Then a lot of you are busy going to the toilet, I think. Then by the time we gather, that monk noticed us. Then I went in also, we talked to him. Then I look at him. I remember 15 years ago when I was there, that was the monk I talked to. No? He was there. He was the only monk then. That time, that temple not developed until like that. Yeah, that time was very simple. That temple was very simple. I think they just want to rebuild it that time. So everything that is meant to be will be. Pauline, you continue another few minutes.
Yeah, actually, in this temple, I remember he also sent us off, you know.
Yeah.
One of the places he stand there, and then we, you know, he stand beside there.
Yeah.
He
like us. He like
us. Take us, receive us, and send us off.
He can sense our group is different. Then yes. He give you a sweet, you remember? Then inside there, the 500 arahant there. There is this, I think, Earth Store Bodhisattva, the image there, the Rupang there. Very nice. So a lot of this great being statue, the manifestation, I would say, it's like meant to be. Then the young monk asks you for foreign currency, remember? So a lot of you pass him foreign currency. So this is how affinity can be established. Okay, Chupolin, sum up.
Brought you one I find that our temple visit, many of them are very rushed. So we here bound, there bound, bound, and then call their Bodhisattva Buddha name until one time we say, after calling the name, bound already say, ayo, kio cho liao. Then you see the Chinese character.
Why you worry? Your faith, your respect is so important. You can call that person wrongly, like sometimes you don't know who that person is. Uncle that's all. Or auntie Because it's your heart, that's all. When you pay that respect, it's more important. Because sometimes we may not know what the Rupang represents. Like the Buddha say, you pay respect to the Buddha Rupang. What is the significance? It's not that the Rupang is very special. You call to mind the great virtue and wisdom of Sakyamuni Buddha. So that great being's nature, their virtue, you pay respect to that one. You recall to mind, develop the faith, then you pay your respect. The name is not important. Their cultivation, their nature, and you develop that gratitude towards them, thank them for all their blessing, protection, and guidance, and determine to cultivate the affinity. That's why you pay respect. Then you develop the gratitude. Then you request for their continuous blessing, protection, and guidance in the future, so that all this can develop into something very beneficial for your cultivation. Then when your time come, you will benefit others too. So it's your time to benefit others. So all this, you play the role of cultivator, great beings, then continue to benefit other beings. So all this is what cultivation is all about. When you develop the understanding, you go through all this phase by phase, phase by phase. So initially, like you recall when you are born, when you are young, you don't know anything. Then later on only you encounter the Buddha Dhamma, then you meet with a lot of bogus one, then finally only you come to the right one. But if you have your past cultivation, you become very different. Like my this segmented life, how I come, very different. Everything that fall into place since birth, I can sense already. Something, my nature, I know already. I'm not normal. I have a unique nature. When I was very young, I already knew I was different. That's why after that year, 1971, I think I was in Form 5. When I start looking at the sky in the middle of the night, in the open ground, then the stars, everything. Then I ask, who am I? What am I? At that age, then suddenly inside my heart, the answer come out. You must meditate to understand. Oh, okay. I don't know what is meditation. Then after that, the following year, I receive one book. What Buddhists believe, written by Chief Reverend. That book, straight away, no need to search really. I saw the Four Noble Truths. Like straight away, my heart drawn to it. I said, this is the right one already. No need to search it. But nobody can have that type of understanding to summarize everything into just Four Noble Truths like that. The whole of life, both mundane and super mundane. Okay, we end. So let us,
I want to say, on behalf of all Karmita, this trip, Brother Tio 也是有一点年纪了, 然后我们这个 trip, 假如你没有去, 肯定不一样, 不像现在,
definitely,
你没有去, 我们全部去罢了, organize 给我们, 就没有这样美丽, 就没有这样 interesting,
对, a lot of things cannot happen,
因为我们有我们的老师, 我们的代购带着, so probably 那些 app 全部都可以 feel, 也是因为 Brother 带我们,
yeah, all this you have to understand, because it's meant to be, will be, otherwise it's very different. In fact, a lot of people, they experience when I'm not around, when they go on their own, a lot of things become very different. Last time I used to go with Cindy and Mossy to Thailand, you remember? That time you all haven't joined us yet, but Mrs. Ho, they all know. So the three were all very beautiful and autonomous. But then later on, because we also didn't really join them for the other future. We have other future trip, they organize on their own. They go on their own. But a lot of them were my Kayamita. Then there was one of them who came back and told me, one of the three, they get into trouble. The bus was stopped. Then they came to know that Mossy don't have a license to lead people. And they want to fine them 100,000 baht now. Then a lot of problem. There are a lot of things, not smooth and all, but that is what nature is. I'm not saying just because I was not there and things because, no, it's, the condition is such. When you don't have that affinity, that conditioning, the understanding and the whatever causes and conditions set in place, the spiritual trip cannot be like the way it's supposed to be. You need to have those understanding, and then the decision I make are very different. Then the itinerary, or you all don't know. I, Pamasri, they all discuss with me. Then they all look at it. Then I suggested, at first, the five-way place, the Utai, one day they want to complete all. I said, siao. I've been there before. I said, cannot. Minimum 2 days. So we split. Then they want to visit every place. The main one is the Utai. Break into 2 days. Then the rest, not so important. They don't need the routine become like that. Then the Huayan Si, I say, only the important temple. No need to go to all. So a lot of things. Then in between, we make decision on, like that day, the rain, they come and talk to me. The van cannot go up. So the tour company last minute tell Linda, so she got to do that half an hour decision to switch the program. Then I say, 没事, don't worry. I say, meant to be. I say, "改,改,改," whatever need to bring forward. Then 那个舞台, she, then the weather, everything fall into place. Whether Utai, that 2 days had to be really sunny and bright. Then after that morning, rain until cannot go out. Then the moment they say, okay, change the itinerary, can go already, then the rain also slow down. Then when we reach there, it become like misty, light drizzle. Very conducive, you realize. And the whole day, the weather very conducive. Then the next few days, sunny like anything. Then until Beijing also, no problem with weather, everything. So when I went to Xinjiang also, the place supposed to be very bad one. The temperature there and all those things. But when we were there, out of that 12 days, almost 10 to 11 days sunny. Very beautiful weather. Then there was one place where we go, a lot of buses. Then we were actually trapped, cannot go out. Then the Taoyu also worry. Then luckily that the person who actually organized that lady, he know the China guy, and he pay higher price for them to charter the bus from the government on, from the government. So because we charter from the government, we were given the special order to overtake a lot of bus and go in all the way until inside there and in time for the lunch. Otherwise, 3-4 hours long queue. Because just after the October, what? Don't know what, the one holiday in China, very long. Yeah. Then what happened was, after we came out that day, you know what happened? The news came out. The whole area snow.
The bus going all cannot come out. Everybody stuck there. That's it. Oh. And Ah-e also told us that after we left Wutaisan, Nan Tai, it was snowing. Pei Tai.
Hail.
Pei Tai. He said, 那个冰什么冰炮啊。So, a lot of this stuff would think it would just happen. Then, the other three also, when we were in Shanghai, on the fly back already, so that day, the flight take off. By the time, before we reach KL, that whole Shanghai storm, no, flight cannot take off. A lot of this type of thing, just like my daughter go and climb mountain after the earthquake and all those things. So a lot of things you must have the understanding, the faith and the parami. Then take care of karma, take care of mind, take care of your cultivation. All this will protect you. The Dharma protector protect the cultivator of the way. So all this we need to have the understanding. Okay, we have to end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So let us share merit and transfer merit. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta watta chamihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siriya idang me nyati dang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati dang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati dang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalina sasa sampati hetu ca to bawa tu loko ca Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala satang samo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.